It's euphoric for sure. Like that's the first word that comes along. I always joke and say sometimes I feel like the puppet master because you're kind of like, you're controlling the motions per se. Whether that makes everybody sit down or whether that makes everybody dance slow or fast or maybe pull someone close, that's up to you. But you're the kind of master of that, moment.
Hey there. This is Katya Rucker, host of I'd Rather Be. Today, I'm talking to Trish Silvestri, and I'd Rather Be DJing. This is episode 8 of season 2, and the show is going to take a little break before the final 4 episodes of the season come out. So make sure you're following I'd Rather Be on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, so you can catch those episodes when the show resumes. So, what is it like to have a passion for DJing, for being the one responsible for crafting a musical experience that sets the vibe for a crowd of dancing people? Trish's musical career started in third grade with the humble school-issued recorder. She went on to picking up the drums in fifth grade and later the trumpet, guitar, and a few other percussion instruments. By the time she was in high school, Trish tried out DJing for a few family parties.
Kind of noticed that I could pick a song and get a reaction, whether emotionally or physically from people who are picking those songs, which then kind of makes you a little excited that you can connect that way. I won't say telepathically, but kind of, through the waves.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then developing it and trying to put yourself in different rooms to try to create different energies or to be around different energies, try to read those. And just challenging is always fun too.
Trish tells me she's always been empathetic to the energy of others. And I asked if that translated well to reading the energy of an entire room and if she's ever had trouble tapping into the mood of a specific crowd.
I would say it's pretty natural to me to read a room. Sometimes when I allow too many requests, is actually when I get more jumbled or makes it tougher for me to interact with the room because I'm listening to maybe other people a little too much and not so much what the room is giving me. But if I ever find myself in a situation where things aren't jiving, you can usually tell not only by a slow dance floor, but usually the energy in the room. So I usually mix it up pretty fast and either do a 360 or... go to some of my go-tos, like the Robin S song, Show Me Love. That's like a Staples 90s dance, And then for weddings, I mean, you can't get away from Motown and any of those like feel-good songs. So you can always spin back around. But I guess being able to notice when is always key.
Right. And I have to ask, what is the most annoying song or one of the most annoying songs people request all the time?
I got a feeling, Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah.
And that one's overdone.
Yeah.
Cha-Cha Slide, I think, is finally feeding out.
Yeah, on its way out. Weddings are pretty easy to deflect when it comes to taking requests, Trish says, since the playlist is heavily influenced by what the couple has already told her they want to hear. And if she knows she isn't going to play a requested song, she'll often still let the person write it down, so they walk away with some hope. But my takeaway is, it's better to let DJs do their thing, because they're tuning into the crowd a lot more than any one person who wants to hear a most likely already overplayed song. Equipment for DJing continues to evolve since its origin in the days of vinyl. Now all you really need is a computer, a hard drive, or a thumb drive full of music, and the right software, though some DJs still opt for vinyl turntables or CD decks. Trish uses a controller, which mimics the function of turntables and mixers and allows her to create all of her desired effects, like mashups that allow songs to gel together. Another evolution from the origins of DJing is what it means to own the music you're mixing, from a library of vinyl records to CDs to MP3s. But with streaming now the most popular way to consume music, ownership has become pretty ambiguous. So I asked Trish how she thinks about ownership of music as a DJ.
Well, yeah, you can start your own, home base of different MP3s, which you can, obviously plug and play anywhere depending on how you have it set up. They also have different streamings depending on your software that you can connect with. So, like, software that I have is Virtual DJ, and you can connect your SoundCloud to it, and I can access anything on SoundCloud through that as well. I think for a moment Spotify linked them, but that is no longer. And then they offer some of their own services too, where you can stream specific like remixes or, certain DJ tools, stuff like that.
So, quite a change from carrying around crates of records or books of CDs. And with access to the internet and therefore millions of songs, I wondered if it's more challenging to decide what you're going to play in the moment.
I think some DJs have their mixes somewhat set up already or premeditated, especially going into certain crowds you want to bring with you a little bit. I always set up a little early so I can sit there in the space and make a side list, which is kind of original to each gig that I'm doing or whatnot. And then from there, you kind of vibe with the room and your side list. So whether it's a new mix that I have that I want to, debut, or if it's a certain crowd, I might want to cue, some songs like that.
Radio stations tend to play lists of the latest hits on repeat. So even if the songs are new, there's both a lack of freshness and a lack of cohesion from one song to the next. Trish likes to dip into music of the 90s and early 2000s for many of her mixes. And she tells me that one of the basic best practices for any DJ is beat matching. So having the same or very similar beats per minute for the song that's ending and the song that's beginning. Mashups are where the true artistry comes in, because you can lay the vocal track of one song on top of the instrumental track of another, or even change the key or tempo of a song to create something people have never heard before. And Trish tells me that sometimes she'll even pick up a microphone and start singing live.
Yeah, so I think always having that kind of live entertainment craving, it's fun for certain, people like friends or friends of friends, weddings in particular, where like the last song I'll sing live, and it'll usually be something a little slower. Or this year my favorite has been "I Hope You Dance" by Leanne Womack, which is kind of like a nice little send off, and it's nothing belty, but people always get surprised when they see that it's actually a live, more rendition than it is just the record.
And as someone who has played many gigs for all kinds of audiences, Trish has also had enough experience to share some of the basic do's and don'ts that any DJ should follow.
Definitely don't try to force your transitions, or try to speed something up too much or slow something down too much. To try to keep it as natural feeling and flowing as possible. And maybe if there's something that you're working on mixing that isn't fitting, trying to figure out a song to place in the middle, like a in-betweener, to help you gauge that transition a little better. But yeah, I just say always stay true to you and your dance floor and create that free flow and vibe.
Trish lives in Philadelphia, and what she likes most about DJing in Philly is its diversity. She says she might bounce around from a top 40s dance hit to a boys to men song to early 90s R&B and then all the way over to country. So she has a lot of creative leeway with what she plays. But with any hobby, we all have to start somewhere. So I asked her to tell me about her first ever DJing experience.
It was a family graduation party. I forget who exactly was graduating, but I had all my books of CDs, all my burnt mix CDs, probably getting viruses on the house computer with LimeWire and Napster and whatever other tools were available at the time. And with CDs, obviously, it's not as much as a feel as like the controller and stuff like that today, or with like the vinyl. So like the controller is a mimic of the vinyl per se. Same mechanics, just different tools. So yeah, that was my first little go with it, and I loved vibing with the crowd. I loved getting them to either sing along or react in some way. And then you flash forward to landing a club down in Center City, and being able to lower your volume so much and the whole room is singing along with you. That's like, you know, a feeling unlike no other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. It's always hard to ask, like, what does it feel like? Because it's a feeling. It's hard to put it into words. But if you could, like, if you could, because I can picture that too. Like, the music stops, the crowd's singing. You feel really connected to everyone, you know, as opposed to just, like, the music being this thing that you are, you know, like, it's like, I imagine almost like a little beam, like, up to the song versus, like, to each other. But
yeah, I mean, it's euphoric for sure. Like, that's the first word that comes along. I always joke and say sometimes I feel like the puppet master because you're kind of like, you know, you're controlling the motions per se. Whether that makes everybody sit down or whether that makes everybody dance slow or fast or maybe pull someone close, you know, that's up to you. But you're the kind of master of that, you know, moment. And the mastery kind of overflows, or you get that energy and feedback back where you're kind of one in the moment. It's just completely amazing and euphoric. You can't even put any other word to it. Like you said, that kind of beam of light almost happens, if only like a lightning bolt to your brain.
Yeah, that's, it's got to be, yeah, totally different when you're the one who's literally pushing the volume and the fades and everything you do to make people react, you know.
Yeah, and for me, myself, music is just an emotional part of my everyday. I can't go a day without putting music on.
Yeah.
Or you know, putting a radio on of a song that I like just to find new music or,
And how does Trish find new music? She says she likes to venture out to new places, like Miami recently, and then she'll go to see other DJs perform in Philly. She'll dive into new channels on the internet or put a new playlist on Shuffle. Basically, she's always seeking out new artists and new songs with an open mind. So to get a better feel for what it takes to be a DJ, I asked Trish to walk me through how she prepares for a gig and to give me some examples of what a typical day of an event is like from start to finish.
We're stumbling into Pride Month, so I used to DJ the after party for Philly Pride at the ladies bar for the latter part of the teens, 2000 teens. You know, preparing for something like that, I'd spend, you know, after waking up and doing my duties, just brushing up on songs and what's hot right now. And then also maybe thinking of some songs that I haven't heard in a decade that I forgot about that, you know, I'd want to mix in or something like that and kind of prep a little side list or last minute download, if you will.
When it's time to set up, Trish arrives early and thinks about the mood she wants to create. With the right lighting and maybe a fog machine, she calls it the Disney effect. You're transporting people to another place. So for the case of the annual Pride event, Trish worked to create an atmosphere of celebration and freedom. Nightclubs are almost always plug and play, easy to get set up. And in contrast, weddings can take up to 2 hours to set up, depending on the venue and existing speaker system. I asked Trish to tell me about an event that challenged her or helped her grow her skill set in some way.
I started doing Thon childhood cancer marathons at some local high schools. And there's this one specifically, which is Mount St. Joe's, which is a private girls' school. And they dance for, you know, however many hours they dance. And I've been their DJ now for a few years. And it took the first year to kind of, because they don't want to sit still, right? They want to keep dancing the whole time. So for that, you know, 10, 12 hours, whatever it is, you're trying to keep them entertained and keep them moving and to be able to come up with different ideas or different mixes, or like you said, that roller coaster of bringing it up, taking it back down, or maybe like a sing along like a Miley Cyrus or sneaking something, like creating that timeline to be able to stretch it that long and to keep their attention that long was probably one of my most challenging feats, which is kind of made spinning in the club a little easier because keeping someone's attention for, you know, 3-4 hours compared to 15.
Keeping up the energy of a crowd for 10 to 12 hours sounded highly daunting to me. To use Trish's words, when you start the vibe, you're there. She joked that when there's a line for the bathroom, that's a case where she'll offer to play a song by request if the person in front lets her sneak in, so she can get back to the music before the next transition. When I asked if there are any common misconceptions about DJs, Trish says the main one is that all DJs are party animals. She considers herself to be a blend of both introverted and extroverted. She doesn't love being the center of attention, but she likes creating the energy and the vibe that someone who is the center of attention creates. So a bit of a catch-22. And along those lines, this is what she told me when I asked what broader life lessons DJing has taught her.
Connecting, right, as far as different personalities and stuff. I think that blends together pretty big with life and business and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Being able to sell or create an experience is the same thing as kind of selling or creating a product, right? Mm-hmm. So it definitely ties in that way. And I think like public speaking and as far as like we talked about the introvert, extrovert, like kind of helps, you know, me maybe who's someone a little more introverted be a little more extroverted because you're out. You might be in the DJ booth, but you're out, you're meeting people, you're making friends, and you're part of the nightlife, which is a fun place to be, especially in your 20s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any, like, any tips you have for someone who might want to try it for their friends, like low stakes, get into it?
Yeah, I would say experience different places and different musics, maybe even travel different countries. For example, I went to Croatia and met a DJ from France there that was spinning, and got to, you know, hear some of his music and stuff. And that always helps to broaden kind of your horizons. And then you can create your own sense of, you know, DJ being per se, and your own persona and feel.
More than I think I realized before talking to Trish, DJing isn't just playing music with cool tempo and blending effects. It's expressing a personal style, just like improvising when you're playing a musical instrument. In our last few minutes, I asked Trish, in her opinion, what separates a good DJ from a great DJ?
I would just say being able to open yourself up and really connect with your crowd and kind of put yourself in their, and to be able to connect and reflect in that way. To really build an overall experience that's unique and true to that environment. Mm-hmm. The DJ should be dancing along in the booth with the people on the floor, you know, like just playing what you think they want to hear per the radio or this, that, the other. It's kind of disconnected. Like you really want to connect and open yourself up and be vulnerable to that.
Right. Well, this has been really interesting, and you know, like just that piece about connection, I didn't really anticipate coming into the conversation, but it makes so much sense. And you know, music at the end of the day is about a feeling. You're really getting out of your head and into your body, and you know, we like people are like people have different meanings of energy, but we all feel it. We all, you know, can build it, co-create it.
DJ makes or breaks the night, I think.
DJing is one of those unique passions that is all about creating a connected and memorable experience for others, not just for yourself. And as we just heard, that connection, that feeling of oneness, is what Trish loves most about it. Trish also wanted to give a shout out to the venue Sunflower Philly in Fishtown, where she recently DJed and produced a Pride Pop event that highlighted trans and non-binary artists. In addition to DJing for events at Sunflower, she's working her way to being a scheduler for them from the LGBTQ community and that side of the arts and music. And side note, they're an outdoor venue, so pets are allowed. Thanks so much to Trish Silvestri for joining me on today's episode of I'd Rather Be. Remember, the show's taking a short break, so make sure you're following or subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. This episode was hosted, produced, and edited by me, Katya Rucker. Show notes and the full transcript for this episode can be found at idratherbepodcast.com. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.